Sorry, I was not prepared, but welcome back to this module. This is module number 5 in ASP.NET Identity, and we're your hosts, Jeremy and Adam. I'm the one with the glasses on correctly, and he's not. And
There's a reason for that.
What is it?
Because we're going to be talking about migration.
Okay, so getting your identity from...
Migrating from something else
to the right place.
To identity.
Yeah, that's cool.
If you can't have an icon, you got to do it with things that nobody understands.
It's a dynamic. It's a live icon. That's what it is. It's a Lycon.
That's right.
All right.
So, welcome back. We've got another cool topic. This is a very much discussed topic because how do you get your application running from any of the prior technologies on over to the current version of identity? So I'll show you a couple techniques. We got two demos in here looking at how we're going to install it into an empty application and how we're going to install it in a universal provider system. So two scenarios out there, and I think this is going to be a cool one. So migrating membership to identity. We're going to talk about should you migrate. That's a very important question. Migrating from what to what? And then we'll look at a couple demos. Sound good? Satellite?
Sounds good to me.
Satellite. Should you migrate? This, I think, is the most important question surrounding it. As a tech guy, I always want to migrate my stuff. I want to get on the latest version of tech. But as a guy who's worked in the industry for many years, it makes it a little bit difficult sometimes. There really should be a clear business need to migrate an application over. It costs money. Time equals money. And developers love the tech. They're like, hey, I want to go over to the new version of Visual Studio, integrate these features. But then you realize it's going to be time. If you have a small application, it might work all right. But in other cases, there might be a huge code base. Going from identity version 2 to the upcoming version 3, since the majority, most of the API is the same on there, I would say consider having a good reason to migrate. And just a couple things to note here, that if you look at the new templates for ASP.NET 5 that are currently out now, they don't have web forms. They have the existing web form support in there. So you can still do web forms in Visual Studio 2015, of course. But the new version of ASP.NET does not have that built into the templates. However, just so you know that you're still getting some love there, .NET 4.6, there's a whole bunch of new web forms features that are being released with that as well. So have no fear on that end. Now, I like this slide because for a developer, these are what I call dev excuses. The dog ate my homework. Why are you going to migrate? Your IT manager, the guy with the Superman outfit, is asking you, I have downtime on my small project, so I want to kind of migrate that. And that's actually the easiest kind of migration, something really small, easy. I need to know the new tech. Okay, it's another reason for you. Maybe your manager doesn't like that reason so much. I like the new tech. SQL membership just feels old. And I've been in that role many, many times where I'm like, this just felt like I was kind of shoehorning to fit my needs. I wanted something different. We've got to use identity for the new features. We must. Like Visual Studio 2015. These are all really, really, really common excuses that, I mean, I've been in the industry for a long time. So have you, Jeremy. You know, people always come up with different reasons that would, like, no, we need to get this application on the latest version because XYZ. And the non-technical manager goes, oh, okay, let's do it. But caution with that. I've seen very large projects come to a grinding halt because they were going through technology upgrades. And during technology upgrades, it's kind of like bills in Congress where everybody's like, all right, well, we've got this main subject. Let's throw in a bunch of other things there. Oh, hey, by the way, while you're migrating to this new technology, why don't we re-architect our data and use a repository pattern? And other changes creep in, and it just makes everything come to a grinding halt. So kind of got to be careful there. And lastly on the slide, don't do that. I don't want you to text and ride your bike at the same time. Just in case you're on your way to your manager to deliver a message. I just want to put it out there. I care about all of you. All right, migrating from no identity. So no glasses to identity V2. V2 is the current version of identity. The version that will be coming out in the future with ASP.NET 5 is V3. So this is going to assume that you have a Visual Studio 2012 or 2013 project. A project that does not have identity installed in there. What you need to do is install the NuGet packages. Remember I mentioned that as of ASP.NET Identity V1, the NuGet packages were released at the time of Visual Studio 2013. So you just install the NuGet packages. And create a sample template, and you diff your project. Sounds really basic. It is actually pretty basic. a little bit more advanced scenario, going from a universal provider to Identity V2. I talked in the history slide about the universal providers. The universal providers were created because the initial membership did a lot of maintenance tasks on the back end. So it had to go and check for expired this, expired that. It had all these extra SQL tasks that would run as these little agents. The universal providers changed that a little bit, and they were better because they then would piggyback some of these maintenance calls on your request to the database, but it's still not the new identity system. So this and the former SQL membership migration procedure is very similar. So what I'm going to show you today on migrating a universal provider to Identity V2 is very similar between what I'll show you to the initial SQL membership that came out in 2005. The process. Migrate your database schema. So you've got to get the new format in place there for the identity tables. Install your NuGet packages. Create a user profile class to hold the old profile or membership data. So the profile system stored things in an interesting way, and we'll look at that. So ideally, you want to unwrap that into another table if you're using profile data. So the old profile system just smushed all your data together. And I have an example of that in a database we can look at. Then you would copy your data to new tables. I like using a console app for that. And then this is a little thing, because I've seen some posts on the net where people get caught up on this. Because you're migrating users over, you haven't gone through the identity system to start, and those users don't have a security stamp set. So I would just recommend you set a security stamp with a GUID.NuGUID. Simple membership. Simple membership came about just a couple years ago. To MVC that sourced with our web pages technology. And going from simple membership to Identity V2 is a pretty similar process as well, although simple membership was closer to identity in that it supported some of the external providers. So in that case, again, you migrate your database schema, you install your NuGet packages, you add your identity models to the database. So just like our identity now, that also used some identity models. You create a new account controller. You have to add some startup code, just like we see in our current project. You add the startup class to your MVC4 project. And then copy your identity config, and also consider seeding your security stamp. So I've got laid out just some steps here so you can see kind of a high-level overview. We won't do simple membership today. On ASP.NET, there's a bunch of great tutorials on how to go from each technology, how to go from V1 to V2, how to go from simple membership to V2. And so I'm just going to show you a demo of doing universal today, because the process is pretty similar across the technologies, just to give you a basic idea of how it works. All right, first, let us do one that has no identity install. We're going to do basically an empty project here.
0 to 60.
0 to 60. This I consider one of the easiest ways. I don't care how large your application is. Let's assume you have some web app you've done, MVC in Visual Studio 2013, and it's like, I don't know, millions of lines of source code. That's okay. Because we're going to take a small project and create it, essentially diff it against the big project and install the required packages. So it should be pretty, pretty easy here. Let's open up a new Visual Studio. We're going to do two instances here. So the first one is going to be our empty website. We'll call this empty website. And we're going to do, and by empty, I mean we're not going to have any authentication installed in it. There are some cool tutorials if you really want to see how you build it up from the ground up. By just taking a basically empty app and then adding on all the different modules in there. There's some great blog posts out there. If you're building something like that from scratch, that's fine. But for me, I've already got a web app. I'm already using MVC. I want to know how I can then take Identity and install it into that application, disable my old system, and use a new system. So that's what I'm going to show you here. So we're going to change authentication to no authentication. So that was the empty website. Now we're going to open one up. And we're going to do this one. New project. And we're going to call this basic identity. MVC. And this is already set for individual user accounts, which is what I want to eventually get the other one to. OK, so we've got two projects here, basic identity, and an empty website. One has authentication with it, one does not. So let's go ahead and run basic identity. go ahead and register for an account on here, like we've done so many times today. Ah, there goes that F1 key again. Curse you. All right, so far so good. Works on my machine. I think we are actually good to go then. So the easiest thing, what I like to do, I'm going to open this folder here. And I'm going to open this folder over here so I can right-click and open folder in File Explorer. And I will use one of my favorite productivity tools of all time. There are a few tools that have sung to me over the years, Visual Studio. I probably actually wouldn't be working at Microsoft this day had it not been for their development tools many years ago, where I was like, wow, this works, this is great.
Incredible.
One of my favorite diff tools of all time is Beyond Compare.
I couldn't live without Beyond Compare.
I could not. So I'm gonna take my empty website. Actually, we'll take basic identity, it's gonna be on our left-hand side. Select left folder to compare. Compare to identity. Now I wanna change a couple rules up here, because right now it's going by file size and timestamp. I don't care about any of that. I actually care about content and not CRC, not binary, but a rules-based kind of text comparison. If there was one way I could configure this to actually ignore namespaces, that would be awesome.
So that it didn't show that a file was different just because
yes.
The namespace was different. I was actually
exactly.
Just playing with that the other day, trying to get that to work.
Okay, so let's go ahead and look at our code here. Let's kind of piece out a few things. We can see that we've got, if we just concentrate on purple on the screen here, we've got identity config, startup auth, I don't care about this here, and startup.cs, and I've got some stuff in these folders here. So if I look in my controller folder, I've got account and manage, that makes sense. That's the classes we looked at before for logging in and managing your user data. Models, wow, all the account models we don't have, which also makes sense. And properties shouldn't have anything of mention that we need. So I can actually just exclude this to get out of the way. And I don't care about these guys, I'll exclude those. And I know there's nothing in here. I can exclude that as well. All right, so we're left with some stuff here. And if I look at a lot of these files are gonna be just as Jeremy said, it's just basically a namespace difference. See that? If I look, I can see up here in the upper left-hand corner, there are no differences in the file, but that one little one at the top there. So I can ignore those, and I know the same is with filter config, and I know the same is with route config. So I can actually just come in here and exclude all those files as well. My home controller, same thing. It's just a namespace issue. So I can exclude that guy as well. Now, we are left with a couple important things here. Account, manage, and shared. So let's go down the line. We'll address app data shortly. Let's get our identity config and our startup auth. Remember, this configures identity. This one configures our OWN modules. Security, we'll call that. Copy to the right, our middleware. Account controller, manage controller, we're gonna copy that to the right as well. Copy our view models over. Our account is completely missing, so we just copy that folder over as well. That's needed. And of course, if we want the user to be able to manage their account, we copy that over as well. Oops. Copy to right. All right, now we're getting down to just a couple things left here. Our layout exists in both. Let's see what this is. This is akin to our master page in web forms. Layout.cshtml actually has built-in support for a little a login partial view here. So just a little piece
of that little area on the screen where the user actually does the login.
Yep, just a little bit of area where it shows the login.
So you might not want to, I mean, in this case, we might want to just copy that directly over, but in your app, you might be moving this strategically to a certain point.
Yep, so in this case, this is the only change. I could copy this file over, but just to show you, I can just copy that line over to the right. Save. I've migrated SQL scripts with here. We used to have a FTP deployment through our dev to QA to production environments, and I would use this tool to compare to make sure that our devs match QA after release, match prod. I mean, it was such a great tool.
It actually does three-way comparisons as well, so that works for three
Very
environments.
Cool.
Yeah.
Okay, login partial, that doesn't exist. Copy to the right, that contains our little login and password text box. And we see our error page is handled slightly differently here. And so we're going to copy this one over. Use that. We have a lockout. Of course, that's related to an account. And our web config, we're going to get back to web config. And actually, in this views folder, I don't care about anything here. That's just a namespace issue. This one can be excluded. But our main web config, oopsie, I just.
It should be up in your filters on the top right. You can go edit that manually.
Exclude files.
So erase
that.
There you go.
There we go. And just exclude just this one, only in this folder. That's what we want. And we'll see we have entity framework connection string that's here. And we have a couple other things that entity framework has added down here. These ones here is just the order of our NuGet packages. I'm sorry, of our bindings in here that don't matter. And since we're using authentication here, we can see that it's saying, hey, remove our forms authentication module if it happens to be there. Even though we're using MVC, because of how web configs work and applications configured in IIS, you can actually get inheritance that goes down the line for parent and child applications. So we're saying, hey, by the way, if that's here, go ahead and move that, remove it. So we're going to keep this open. We're going to get back to this in a second here. Let's go back to our what used to be our empty website. And our files aren't included, right? So we need to show all of our files. And this gives you a real easy view. We can come in here. Oops, wrong key. We'll just right-click, include in project. Come down the line. Include in project. Okay. We need our startup.c#. I saw that was missing too. Include that as well. And then what we're going to have to do in this is we have to come in here and fix up a couple things. So first thing is, you notice these namespaces, if I try to compile right now, it's going to blow up all over the place. Type or namespace Owen does not exist in the namespace Microsoft, doesn't recognize entity framework, doesn't recognize all this stuff in here. So we need to include a couple packages here. NuGet packages. Remember I said this was all pluggable by NuGet? Brilliant technology. And I can come in here and take these guys. So we're going to install just a few packages here. Owen, Identity Core, the Entity Framework implementation. And actually, we could leave out Google here, but I'll just copy and paste this all here anyway. And System Web. Now, with NuGet, I can actually take a whole list of them and just paste it in there, and it will go through and install everything. So you'll see right down here, everything's running through, everything's installing for me. Now, one thing I would like to do just for my own goodness here. And we've got one last one we've got to hit enter on. All right, let me compile. Succeeded. Perfect. However, notice I've got some problems with my namespaces here. So ideally, you'll want to correct these. And the easiest way to do this is this one is called, the one that we copied in was basic identity. So I can just say replace basic identity. I'll find the whole word. And I want to replace that with empty website, just so my namespaces match my application. I don't have kind of this copy-paste error here. 29 occurrences replaced. Compile. There we go. All right. Let's go ahead and let's run this. Now, notice we don't have anything configured here for a connection string. So we can go ahead and think everything else here Let's run this, I'll show you. Empty website running. We go over here, let's go register. I'm just gonna say, keep my fingers away from that F1 key.
And the sleep key.
Waiting, waiting, waiting. Now, clearly, something is kind of going on here, right? So, issue is, I have no database. I have nothing configured here. Where's it all going? We haven't specified that yet. So, let me detach from this. I'll keep that puppy running in the background. Let's come back over to this. And let's copy over our connection string. There's our data source. And just for giggles, I'll add one more character into that database name. Just so we have something different. And there we go. So a network-related or instance-specific error occurred. Specified local DB instance does not exist. All right, let's try this again here. So all of our code changes now work. It's a matter of kind of fiddling around with the data down here. But as it stands now, outside of the data access, my application is essentially fully migrated, so to say. There we go. Just like that. Now if I stop this, in what used to be my empty website that had no identity in it whatsoever. There we go. The identity system is installed. So we just did a diff, we copied it over. We made sure that our connect string pointed to something. And for those, again, not familiar with Entity Framework, that's okay. All we specified in our config file here, say, hey, this is where you're gonna keep a default database. It's gonna be under our app data folder, although we don't see it here. But if I open it on the file system, we see it here. If it doesn't exist, it's going to create it, and that's all we have to worry about. Entity Framework is going to take care of the rest. That's just a copy that we needed to copy over. If you want this to point to an actual database, of course, this is where a database on your network somewhere else, or a full SQL Server instance, this is where you would change that value. So this now works. Fairly easy migration. I mean, I kind of talked as I went through this, but you could probably run through this inside of about 3 minutes or so, copying it over. And again, I don't care if you have a, 100 different folders in your empty project that doesn't have authentication, you hide all those folders, we don't care about them. We only need stuff specific to the identity system, install the NuGet packages to support it, update our web config, bam, we're done. Just like that. Not too bad. So we took a project that had nothing, brought it up to speed with identity, just a few steps. Now let's take a little bit more of an advanced scenario here, and this one's a little bit tougher. Let's take the scenario, we've got a web forms project, and we wanna take a universal provider with profile data, and we wanna migrate that on over to identity. And we wanna read out some of that profile data and store it in the database as well. So we want it to work, and we don't wanna use the old way of doing things.
So the last one was 0 to 60, now we're going like 60 to 100 or something.
60 to 100, yes, yes. And this one actually plugs on nice to old projects because you don't have to kind of do that diff like that. But there are a couple things to be aware of depending on how you're doing your technology. It might take a little bit of fiddling doing with it. I would definitely recommend create a backup of your database and create a couple backups of your source code. So you can, if something fails, you can just reset it. And I always like to create a script. Always have a script of the steps you're doing. Work through your, make a copy of your source code, make a copy of your database, work through your script. If you hit a snag, start all the way over again, correct your step. Work further, start all the way over again. That way you know that that's gonna work when you finally go and do it for real, ideally.
Ideally.
Okay, so let's look at a WebForms universal provider migration here. And I will close out my empty website that is now full of life and get rid of basic identity. Okay, so I'll talk about this project here. This is a WebForms project. And in this WebForms project, we are doing forms authentication, /account /login.aspx, and The one thing that's been modified here is this has a custom profile provider here. So there's a class here, personal stats, and what this is just doing is taking a couple fields about that user. Date of birth, user stats, city. And it's going to store those in the profile. So remember, profile, or if you didn't know, profile in SQL membership and beyond was a very interesting beast on how to store data here. So that user has some data stored with them. This is the old system. And notice, there's none of the new tables in here. And if we look at the property names that it understands, there's a table here. It says, I recognize something called profile info, and here's the property value. Let's copy this out and paste it into Notepad. And you see what it does? It's serialized that class, and it's storing that out as XML in there. And there's also you can have a binary version that gets stored as well. You can also, there's other ways of storing profile data too, where it will do like pipe delimited data like that. So it wasn't the best way to store data. I like to store it directly in a table. You know, if I have a field named city, I want it stored in something called city in my database. I don't want my fields to be smashed together like that. Okay, so let's go ahead and look at here a couple steps that we're gonna need to do. We need to migrate our database. We need to bring some code over. And I have a folder with some helper stuff in here. So we need to bring in this stuff from Identity into this project, right? Because we know that there's some specific stuff that Identity is going to look at, and we need to manage Identity. We're going to have some models that we have to bring in. User, user manager, DB context, like we talked about early on. We're going to need to bring in this case, web forms pages to manage that user's identity, to be able to log in, to register, manage roles. So we're gonna have to bring these over to our project, as well as this schema that's in this project doesn't match at all what we're gonna be doing in identity. So let's go through the steps here. There's a script you can find out on that. Again, I'm going to publish this entire package. We have a bunch of really good tutorials out there. The current tutorial out there, I think, deals with V1 and membership. So this deals with V2, getting your universal provider all up to V2. And everything that I have here should just work. So we're gonna copy this migration script out because we need to be able to take this data and bring it on over. So I'm gonna open up a connection, a new query to this database, and paste in my migration script here. This just does some checks saying, hey, if your roles, if your tables already exist, we're gonna drop them. So just review the script. If you happen to have some identity tables here, it will get rid of them by design. I just wanna start fresh from this. Always review the SQL scripts you run against your database. Come down the lines, this is all of our SQL stuff here. That looks good. And then there's some insert statements where it's selecting from our existing tables and inserting them into the new tables. So these scripts should take care of most of that for you. This one's kind of easy. When we wanna query our roles, the role format was fairly similar. If we want to insert into our new ASP.NET roles table, we just select role ID and role name. A couple different fields. The old ones had application ID on there and a role description. The new system just has an ID and a name with it. Okay, let's go ahead and run this script. Scroll down, all looks good. No red text on there, no red font. That's a good sign to me so far. Now, what we've got to do is bring in some classes here. So this was the personal stats table class that we talked about. We have a copy profile data application here. This is a console app, and this is going to migrate some of the data for us. It's going to read that profile data and copy it over to Entity Framework. And so we'll walk through that in 1 second. Let's get the other stuff in place that we need. So recall that we need something to bootstrap the middleware, and that was this startup class here. So we need to bring our startup class into our project. Let's check that guy out. There we go. So this is kind of our bootstrapper class. This says, hey, we don't know what this is. Oh, fair enough, let's bring that in now. That's our startup auth. And remember, all of our startup code here that's specific like that should go into right here. And then let's go ahead and take these packages here, these two folders, I should say, identity account and identity models, and bring them over here. And again, let's look through those. We have our DB context. This is our Entity Framework class. We have application, role, user, and then some of the legacy ones here. Now notice we also don't have Entity Framework installed yet, so there's some NuGet packages here. Let's close this out and go to that new migration script. And these are the NuGet packages we need right here. Similar to what we had before, I'm installing some extra ones here. So I'm doing Facebook, Google, Microsoft, and Twitter. Those are kind of some of the standard ones you get in a template. So I'm just going to install them as well. So we're in the same position as we are in a default template. Package Manager Console. And again, we can take our NuGet packages and paste them all in. Now we want to make sure we're targeting the correct application here. I've done this many times where I've been doing something, the Package Manager Console, and I was on the wrong application and I installed packages.
Yeah.
So you have to be careful here. So I'm gonna make sure I'm in my WebForms project. That's good. And I'm going to take all those, paste that in. Let me give it 1 second to install everything on here and finish. And the last one, I always have to hit enter on there because I didn't copy in that carriage return line feed. Okay, so the build has succeeded so far. But notice our database schema now has all of our new tables there. And if I look under my old users table, I had a user called old user. And in my new table that was created from that migration script, I now have old user as well. Old user is the username, and we actually have old user at AOL.com is old user's email address.
I love it.
Okay, close that out, close this guy. Let's clean this view up a little bit. Everything compiles all right. Now the last step that we need to do here. This guy, copy profile data. Let's walk through this a little bit. Copy profile data is reading from Entity Framework. It's reading the profile information, essentially out of that table, and then it's deserializing it. So remember, it was in an XML format. That XML format, we can actually do what's called deserialize it. So it can take that XML, figure out what's in there, and apply it to a full class of ours. So we're going to do that here. It's creating a new XML serializer of type profile info. Remember, that was a class here that had date of birth, user stats. This is what's stored in my old profile table. That data right there is one blob or one block of XML. So we're going to create a serializer, and we're going to deserialize that XML data we're reading from the profile table into that class. And then we're just going to assign it to user.profile. Now there is one step that we have to do here. So let's go one step back though. Here's my user class. Remember, identity user, we talked about a bunch. This is the essentially the Entity Framework class that is going to write out our user stuff. So we're inheriting from identity user for our user class. And on this user class, we have some profile stuff on there. So let's go ahead and migrate this data here.
Why is that profile stuff an object as opposed to just a set of fields?
Just made it easier in this case just to grab that block out of there.
Okay.
Because we can just, the assumption was with our custom profiler provider in our old WebForms app that we were essentially using that to just take this. So let me go to this class here. The profile provider in our old WebForms app was using this class and just writing out that XML data. So we're just reusing that exact same code again. We're not, you know, as little code changes as possible when we migrate, that's what we want.
Yeah.
So we're just gonna use that same class and use it to our advantage, where we can just take it, deserialize it, and now add it to as a property to our user table.
Great.
And we can see on our ASP.NET users, you can see profile underscore, date of birth, user stats, weight. We can see all those fields here. Now, this is not going to work right now because it's looking at just what database. These are two separate databases. Two separate applications, I should say. This one doesn't have an app underscore data folder. We have to tell it where to find this guy's database. And so that's pretty easy. We're just going to come in here and open the folder. And here's a trick I love in Windows. I'm going to highlight my MDF. So this is my database file. That's my log file. I'm going to highlight my database file. Control C. You guys know if we go to any text field, we can paste in the actual file as a path. So if you knew that, cool. If you didn't know that, well, hopefully that's a cool trick for you. We can copy a file and paste its path. And that's exactly what I need to do here. I'm going to take off the quotes off it, though, because I don't need those. So I need to tell this app, our web forms app, I'm sorry, our console app here, where to find it. And we look in its config file. And there it is right here. So it's pointing to some other path, some other test sample that I was doing. So what I need to do is paste in this new path. The file name you're going to attach to is the path of the MDF file in my app data folder. That is it. Save that. Jeremy, I think we're good to go. I'm going to set this as my default project. And let's build everything. Build succeeded. So both of my projects succeeded. Now there's something interesting that my copy profile data is doing, is it's actually looking into my web app for those objects. That's how it knows about this DB context. It's using all the stuff I've defined in here to its advantage. Again, as little code changes as possible. We don't need to write custom code classes over here. We're saying look in our web application, grab its DB context, which deals with the database. And by the way, grab the profiles table. And we're going to work with that directly. We're going to get the data out of there and just write it onto the user account. So query our profile table, get our XML, create our object, and write it right out to the user. Save change to the database. So let's run this, and this should work just fine. Fingers crossed. Demo gremlins have been pretty good today so far. Let's see what happens. All right, I see the old user's name right there, old user. F5 that to finish. Very cool. So now let's see what happens if I look at the table data here. There we go. So there's my profile information that has just been copied over to my database, into this my identity user table that has all these custom fields in it now. Again, going back to how easy it is to customize it, you just add fields onto your identity user, whatever's inheriting from identity user, just add your fields onto it. All right, so we've migrated our data. We've brought in our startup code. We've installed our NuGet packages. I think we're about good to go. We've run our migration script. Let's try it, shall we?
I hope so. You wrote a lot of code since the last time you you built and rendered, so that's pretty brave.
Oh, that's hold on. I don't want to run my migration code again. Change my startup project. It seemed like a lot, but in all reality, I brought in some startup code. We brought in some startup code. That was already there, and I brought in that and that. And that was the gist of it. So not too much on the code change size. The migration script is already written, so that should typically just work. All right, I've got my default project specified. Let's go ahead and do this. Oops. F5 and 5. Okay. So I think if I look at my startup code here, just to show you, we're using the right one. This was a new login here. So here's my middleware, my cookie authentication provider. Use that URL at /identity/login. So let's go ahead and do that. /identity/login. Okay. Old user. Login with old user. There we go. And there we have it. So we've migrated our data. We added the identity packages. We brought in the web forms code that we needed for our models and our ASPX files. Ran it. Voila, all done.
And that feels like a big accomplishment, actually. It feels like we got a lot done. And,
yeah.
You know.
This is huge, to be able to take your old applications and pretty easily bring them completely onto a brand new identity system that supports two-factor authentication and things like, we'll look at some stuff in the next module of
yeah, don't spoil anything. What about multi-step? Are there any multi-step processes where, as opposed to just kind of doing this all ideally and then hitting go and letting your users log into the new one, what about migrating the users in waves or slowly in stages? Have you done any migrations like that? Is it necessary to utilize a subset of your users, get them over on a new system, and then slowly deprecate your old identity system?
So you could do that a couple different ways. If you're going to have both of them active at the same time, you have one set of users, they don't know anything's happened. They keep mm-hmm. chugging along the application. Mm-hmm. You do all of this, mm-hmm. and then you basically point the new users at your new login URL. And it's up to you on how many records you migrate over. You may have already migrated everybody over just to see if it works.
Yeah.
That's okay. The new users aren't using the login URL. If they happen to change their password over there, then as a last step before you go live, you'd probably want to take the password hash from over there and copy it over to the new tables.
Yeah.
Or any other profile information you might need because they might change your profile. In a system like that where we have multiple different profile information users can change at various times, I would probably do the entire wave at first as a test mm-hmm. just to make sure all the data comes over and my scripts work okay.
Yeah. But then you're going to need to refresh it at some point because then that user is going to start changing their profile
yep.
or their
name. Absolutely. Mm-hmm. And so in that case, what I would do is I would take in this little copy profile data class here, I would change it up to look at when the users maybe last logged in and anybody before that migration date. We don't touch because we know their data is the same. Anybody mm-hmm. after the migration date, we just pull in their new data again.
All right.
So pretty easy. Not too bad. All good?
Yep. I like it.
All right. So
what's the next module?
Next module is going to be identity best practices.
Excellent.
Some cool little things you can
catch-all.
Do.
Just,
yeah.
Excellent.
A couple of random tidbits that'll help you out in your applications and help round it out, make it a little more feature-filled. I think it's going to be pretty awesome.
All right. It's been nice chatting with you guys on our chat and on Twitter lately. We've been
Twitter, too.
A little
all right.
Twitter action as well.
Very
so that's
cool.
been fun. We'll see you all in 10 minutes.
See you shortly.